Well, good morning, church. Good morning. I'm so excited to be here with you. God is good.
All the time.
And that's his nature. Wow. Okay, give someone a high five. Give someone a high five. And have a seat. I love the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God knows everything. And so when I was coming here, there was a study on my heart that I wanted to share. But when I got here, the Lord just did not allow me to teach it. And so last night, I was looking over the study, and I was trying to ask the Lord, but I could not stay up. And I got up this morning, and I spent some time with the Lord, and the Lord changed the direction. And it's funny, because the first song, Lay Me Down, is really about what I wanted to share today. And the first scripture the sister read, Romans 12, 1 and 2 was what I was going to start with. So she stole my verse, but I'm going to read it again. Can we do that? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And then we'll go back to Genesis chapter 22, which is about Abraham and Isaac, and really what that entails for each of us. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and then we'll pray. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I want to pray because I believe this is no coincidence. And I believe it's God's plan. I believe some of us here today, you worship God with one hand and you hold something else in the other hand. And this is what God wants. Your security, your pride, your family, your fears, your worries. I believe Kenny and the worship team, Lay Me Down, is not coincidence. I believe Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 is not coincidence. It's a divine plan for each of us today, including myself. I need to lay me down before God. I need to give my body as a living sacrifice to him, because he's worthy of it. Amen? He's worthy of it. I love him because he first loved us. So let us pray. Father God, we come before you this morning, and we just thank you for your amazing love for us, that while we were still yet sinners, Christ, you died for me, for us. Thank you, God, that our life is not our own, and you bought us with a precious price, the blood of Jesus. And so this morning, God, would you clear away all the distractions? Would you put out all the noises of our life that we might hear your voice? We want your voice only, God. Help me to be invisible today. Holy Spirit, would you just come and reign and rule in this period of time, God? We thank you, Lord. We love you, and we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so flip back to the book of Genesis, chapter 22, and we'll pick up the story here. Most of us, if you've been walking with the Lord for some time, you're familiar with the story of Abraham and Isaac, and how God had called Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, to kill him, to murder him. And most people, as they read this, they think, how horrible. How could a God of love, of compassion, do that? But as we see in the verses, it says, and God tested him. It was a test. Abraham did not know it was a test. And oftentimes in our Christianity, we do not know when God is testing us. When we go through trials and tribulations, we think, why God? Why me? And God says, because I want to teach you. Because I want to reveal what's in your hearts. Because I love you. And you are valuable. And I want to share with maybe someone here is struggling, and I don't know. You are valuable to the Lord God Almighty. You are valuable to him. You are worth it. He saw us and he gave of his son. And in Genesis chapter 2 reads, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. I want you, if you have a pencil, a highlighter, lipstick, just underline that, and we will come back to you. I'm sorry, I'm American. Sorry. Okay, so we will come back, because that's that. I want you to understand that Abraham makes that statement. Knowing what he has to do, he says, we, not I, but we will come back to you. And he goes on to say here, verse 6, so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac said to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So once again, the Bible says, so the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Excuse me. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad, or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear the Lord, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Amen? Amen. God is more than able to provide for all of your needs. The Bible says, God will supply all of my needs. And maybe that's what you need to hear this morning. Whatever you are needing today, God will. Not that he might, not when he feels like it, but he will. He will provide. This is such a beautiful story. Most of us understand that this is a picture of the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, and offering him as a sacrifice. We understand this, but church, let me tell you this. You can understand it, but do you live it? That's the better question. Do we understand what that means to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to him? Do I understand what it means to lay myself down? You know, as I think about the story, I think of how that must have been excruciating for Abraham to deal with. Do we have any parents here in the house of God? Parents? Parents in the house, raise your hand. Let me see the parents. Okay. Imagine yourself in Abraham's shoes when the one that you serve, Father God, says, sacrifice your son. As I read through this, I love this because it says, verse 1, now it came to pass after these things. What things? If you go through the life of Abraham, God called Abraham to do some amazing things, some unconventional things. Remember, Abraham was in a land, right? And God says, leave. Go to another land that you do not know. That requires faith. Can everyone say faith?
Faith.
One more time, faith.
Faith.
It requires what?
Faith.
To leave where you have planted yourself and go to another land. And remember, Abraham said, well, can my nephew Lot go? Yes. And then they came to a fork in the road. Remember, Sodom and Gomorrah. And And Lot was there, and Abraham said, Lot, you can choose which land. Lot had been his support. Lot had been by his side. Lot was family. And sometimes when we follow the Lord, God will say, you need to go the way I call you to go, which is sometimes separate from our family. We don't want to think that. But remember, Jesus said, if you don't hate your mother and your father, and that word hate is not to want to cause harm on them, but to love them less. If you can't hate your mother, your father, your brother and sister, if you can't love them less than me, then you cannot be my disciple. We just sung that. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. So Abraham was in a position where, do I stay with Lot or do I don't go my own way? And he decided to go his own way. And remember, Abraham was up in years. He was elderly. And God says, you will have a son. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, right, right? So as that was presented, right? And Sarah, what did she do? And remember what Sarah did when they said she was going to bear a child? She was barren. What did she do? She laughed. Ha, 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 ha. I don't know how she laughed, but she laughed, right? And what did God do? She bore the son Isaac. Interesting though, do you remember what happened before Isaac? Was there another one? Yes, right? Do you remember the woman, the handmaiden, what was her name? Hagar, and she bore a son named Ishmael, right? Interesting. My ways versus God's ways. Hagar and Ishmael, that was Abraham's way of allowing God's perfect will to happen. And I'll be honest, I have done things to make God's will happen, but it wasn't his will. It was my will. And so in a sense, I have birthed some Ishmaels in my life. I've chosen to go my own way. I've chosen to do it my way versus God's way. Let me just tell you, that means trouble. Because we know what happened with Ishmael, and they were banished from the country there. Oftentimes, and I see this so often, I used to oversee, it's so interesting, Pastor Zeddy, our young adult group is called The Bridge. It's the very same name, so I was laughing. I was like, wow, we're just connected here. Maybe I'll just move my family here. I don't know, just feeling at home here. But I meet young men and women, and they're of the marrying age. And the man will say, aha, I see a young lady there. Or a young lady will see a young man. And they do various things to make a relationship happen. Right? Maybe he will say, excuse me, what was the verse the pastor said again? Oh, my name? Oh, my name, yes. Oh, is this your first time here at church? Let me welcome you. Later I can lay hands and pray for you, right? All these, I know. See, those that are laughing, you have done that. I'm guilty, right? You know, you see. And you try to make God's will your will. That's what Abraham did with Hagar and Ishmael. He tried to help God. Church, God does not need our help. He is in control. He formed the heavens and the earth. He created the seas and the mountains. He can order your life. So maybe this morning you are like Abraham was. And I'll tell you, he was just impatient, was he not? The promise, I love this, the promise has not happened yet. See, God has made promises to each of us. The Word of God is full of promises. Have we seen all of them to come to happen? Not yet, right? Some of you are still waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, wait patiently for the Lord. Wait for his perfect will. See, after these things, God tested him. Can I tell you this? God will oftentimes allow circumstances in our life in order that we would be prepared for the next test, the next trial, the next tribulation. See, God, we know the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, God doesn't give us more than what we can handle. We understand that. But God will not allow us to go through a test or a trial that he has not prepared us for. The previous chapters in the life of Abraham are preparing him for this moment. Genesis chapter 22. This is a defining moment for Abraham. It was like these little baby steps. And now the biggest one, which was, God says, take now your son, your only son, whom you love. This is the first time the word love is mentioned in the Bible. And it's mentioned in a relationship between a father and a son. John chapter 3, verse 16. Church, do you know that verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his one. You don't know it. Pastor Zeddy, come on. Okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever what? Believes in him, perish, but have. The gospel is the greatest love story ever. This is the first time love is mentioned between Abraham and Isaac, whom you love, the son that you love. And it says here, go to the land of Moriah and create a burnt offering there. Offer him. It didn't say offer a lamb. It didn't say offer a turtle dove. It says offer your son Isaac as a burnt offering. When I think of burnt offering, I think of fire. Fire is damaging, is it not? Fire is something that consumes an object. And God says, I want you to take your son, your one and only son, whom you love, that he would be a burnt offering. That word burnt offering in the Hebrew is almost the idea of going up in smoke, being lifted up from one place to the next. So what he's saying here is, take your son, your one and only son, and offer him, give him up. But I love the thing about fire because it is damaging, right? If we had fire right now and put my hand there, I would be burned. But also the other attribute of fire is that it purifies. It cleanses, right? Heat on, let's say, metal cleanses that, correct? So I think not only is God saying, offer up your son Isaac as a literal burnt offering, but he's almost saying, because Abraham held high, this is the son you promised God. Out of him will be numerous as star as the stars in the sky and the sand as the descendants. It was almost like Abraham was, you can take whatever else you want, God, but do not take Isaac. And God says, I need Isaac. Oftentimes, God will have to burn away the things within us that's not of him. There are things within our life and often our selfishness or our pride or those things that God has in our life that he wants to burn away, and he'll often do it through testing. And Peter talks about that the testing of your faith, right? To test the genuineness of your faith as refining pure gold. Fire is required to purify metals. And trials and difficult days and chaotic, crazy circumstances are allowed in our life to purify us. And I believe for Abraham, this is the process. And not just Abraham, church, it's us. Anyone here ever been in a trial, a fiery trial, difficulties? I would imagine if you've been walking with the Lord, you have been, right? Maybe you are in one right now. Maybe financial hardship. Maybe your family is being broken up. Maybe your children are walking away from the Lord. And you're feeling as if, God, what are you doing? And God's saying, I'm purifying you. I'm cleansing you. The Bible says here that, this is an interesting thing. God was preparing Abraham for the test. But also here, verse 3, I love this. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled the donkey and took two of his young men and his son Isaac. They split the wood for the burnt offering which God had told them. So it's one thing for him to hear God's voice. It's another thing to act upon it, correct? Has not the Lord spoken to you about something that you have not acted upon? Immediately, the next day, Abraham does what God calls him to do. Abraham makes a decision to go through with the test. Now, Abraham could have easily said, God, that's just too hard. I cannot do that. And maybe we have said that too to the Lord. God, that is just too much to take a step of faith, right? To go ahead, to trust you. I think Sister Monica prayed that, God, that we would trust you. We would trust you. Just as you who are parents or grandparents or uncles and nieces, when you have little children, they trust you and only you. As we with our Heavenly Father, we would trust Him and only Him. Abraham followed through with the test. And it goes on to say that he lifted his eyes and he saw the place where the sacrifice should take place, Mount Moriah, which is Calvary, Golgotha, the place that Jesus was crucified. And it says there, and Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I, Isaac and I, will go up. And remember what I told you, underline, said, and we will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. This is interesting. This is really a profound statement, because Abraham understood that if God said Isaac, his son, out of Isaac, out of him, would become many nations, descendants, God was going to keep his promise. And that mere statement that Abraham makes there, he says, and we will come back. So in Abraham's mind, he's thinking, I do not know how. If I sacrifice Isaac as a burnt offering, I do not know how we will come back, whether God will raise him from the dead, whether the fire will not hurt him. He had no idea how God was going to do it, but he believed God was going to do it. Jesus said, right, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you could move mountains. Church, do we have faith as small as a mustard seed to move mountains? Maybe there is a mountain right before you and you look up and you think, no, I cannot. I have no strength. I have no more life. I'm too tired to climb, God. Let me just tell you, God keeps his promises. Let me tell you again, God keeps his promises. One more time. God keeps his promises. He's a promise keeper. He's a promise keeper. The Bible says his promises are yes and amen. So be it. It is so. So Abraham takes the wood and the burnt offering and he lays it on his son and they go up on this mountain. Isaac is there. Verse 7 talks about my father. And all throughout this, every time someone calls on the name of Abraham, his response is, here I am. Wow. Oftentimes that is not my response. Sometimes God will call us to do things we do not want to do. Maybe you're like me, there's people in my life that maybe are difficult, maybe sometimes unlovable. Maybe some family member or a coworker or a neighbor, and God will sometimes tell me, go forgive them. Oh no. They forgive me first, God. You know, you'll make that deal with the Lord. Or God will say, bring something over to them or love them. And in our hearts, we do not want to do. Well, here, what happens is all that Abraham says, here I am. Here am I. Very reminiscent, right? Book of Isaiah. Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, then I saw the Lord. And God says, who will go for us? And Isaiah says what? Here am I. Church, would that be our prayer to the Lord when he calls us to do something? And maybe you're here today and maybe your heart is to serve. And God's pressing upon your heart. Talk to Pastor Zeddy. Talk to Pastor Kenny about worship, and you want to, but you don't. You ever have those moments? You're like, and you go back and forth and back and forth on decisions, but you know it's the Lord telling you. May our response be, here am I, Lord. Send me. Use me. Isaac says, I see the fire. I see the wood, but I do not see the lamb for the sacrifice. Where is it, Father? Father, I've seen you. Father Abraham, I've seen you. I've seen you make sacrifice. You forgot something. Father Abraham, you forgot the sacrifice. And I wonder what Abraham is thinking. Son, here is a mirror. You are the sacrifice, right? I wonder what that conversation was like. How could that be? And Abraham's response, my son, God will provide a sacrifice. He will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. And the Bible says the two of them went together. I have to encourage you in this. There's two places where it says they both walked together. They both walked together. The two of them walked together. There is unity between father and son. And that is very important because we're going to find out that Isaac willingly lays down. He allows his father to bind him. As some of you may know, Isaac is not a little boy. He's probably 30 years old. Anyone here 30 years old? 30 years old? Nobody here is 30 years old. Okay, my brother over here, you're 30 years old. Can you stand a second? Can you stand? Yes, yes, stand. Part of the worship team. Okay, so could you imagine he and I, if I tried to bind him, would you let me bind you to be a sacrifice? But the Lord said, no, right? Could you imagine that? Father Abraham was close to 100, if not 100 years old, so probably weak. So think about this, because the Bible says, and I believe the Bible. Anyone here believe the Bible? Yeah. It's true. Okay. They came to the place which God had told them. Abraham built an altar there, placed the wood, and bound his son Isaac. If you knew you were going to be the sacrifice that your father was going to give to the Lord, would you go like this? And have him bind you. And if you knew your father was weaker than you, you were stronger. If you knew that there was going to be fire on, that you were going to be barbecue, right? That is the result. If you knew that, would you allow him? Unless God had already spoken to him. See, it says, I believe Amos, it says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Two places, it says, they both walk together in unity. And I wonder at some point in time when Isaac sees his father Abraham creating the altar, wonder if he's like, I am the sacrifice. Let me tell you, church, sometimes God will say, you are the sacrifice. I don't want your children. I don't want your finances. I do not want your job. I want you. I want you. I wonder for Isaac, and I pray we understand this. There is a point where he says, I will accept. I will accept your will, Lord. I will not fight. I will not try to push down my father as he puts rope on me. I will not try to run away. I will not try to complain. I will accept your perfect will. And many of us here today, it's hard for us to accept the will of God. When I'm married, I have four children. Joel, who is 10 years old. Micah, who's my second son. He is 8 years old. Shiloh, my only daughter, is 6. And Israel is 4 years old. When we were pregnant with our first child, Joel, we had only been married 6 months. And we had no idea. We were coming from a retreat. My wife got sick and she was on her way to work and she was bleeding. And so we were wondering what was going on. She goes to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, congratulations, you're pregnant. Oh, but you will lose the child. And I want to say Joel was only a month old. She had what's called a fibroid, something within her uterus that was growing at the same time. So if you can think consecutively, the growth, the fibroid is growing just like the sun. So they're competing for all the nutrients. So what they were saying is, at the doctor, they said, just get rid of it. Just be done. So we're on the phone, she's at, and we're both crying like, Lord, what do we do? And I remember we just prayed, and the nurse, if you're a nurse, the nurse says, psst, psst, I know a doctor in another city. I think he's a Christian. Go to him. His name is Dr. Park. He was a Korean doctor, but he was a missionary child in Brazil. So we went with him, and he checked her out, and he looked at both of us in the eye and says, this child will live. We're like, how? Oh, amen, right? He says, but we must do a surgery to remove the fibroid, which is dangerous because that you could lose the child also in that. And I remember the night before, we were just praying, and it was almost like we said, whether the child is saved or whether or not, blessed be the name of the Lord. You give, you take away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Naked I came in, naked I go out, blessed be the name of the Lord. After the surgery, Dr. Park came to me. He said it was successful. 8-9 months later, she delivered our firstborn. You know? Amen. This past summer, I was able to take my 10-year-old son on a mission trip to New York. And so I think if we're willing to accept what God gives us, his promises are yes and amen. And maybe that's what you need to hear this morning. See, the passage goes on, and we somewhat know the rest of the story here. Because as Abraham takes the knife ready to slay his son, his one only son whom he loved, the angel of the Lord says, stop! Abraham, Abraham, now that I've seen that you would not withhold your son, there's a ram, there's an animal in the bush. Sacrifice that instead. Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your one and only son. Oftentimes, the will of God is very difficult. I'll tell you that. It's not the easiest road. Sometimes being a believer in Jesus Christ, we are going against the flow of where everyone else is going. Sometimes we'll be ridiculed. Sometimes people will say things about us. Oftentimes we may lose possessions or people, positions. But know this to be true. The Lord will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. And not only that, I love this. Remember, Abraham was called upon God to sacrifice a burnt offering. That altar, right? God had called him to do that. And so what did God do? He provided an animal that he would be able to sacrifice. And the place that they were at was called, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. This morning, maybe you are at that point where God has been testing you. He's been revealing, and I love this. God not just wanted to test Abraham's faith, he wanted to reveal Abraham's faith. He wanted everyone to know that this faith was genuine, was real. Oftentimes in our Christianity, we have to climb, don't we? And the mountains, as I talked about, are very, very difficult. And sometimes we do not know what to do. But God calls us to climb. He calls us. One more story. One of my first mission trips was to the country of Japan. And as I was in Japan, there's a mountain called Mount Fuji. And we decided, as a missionary team, we decided to climb this mountain. And at the last 500 feet is just snow. It was summertime, so all Americans were not prepared to climb a mountain. I believe it's about 10,000 feet, which is, you can determine what that is. But it was very high. And as we were climbing it, because of the altitude, the people on the team were getting dizzy and tired, right? And at the very last 500 feet, it was me and another guy. And we were looking at each other and we're saying, I'm tired. I'm tired too. And we said, maybe we tell everyone we made it to the top. You know, maybe we just tell them and they won't know, right? Because there was snow and we were not prepared. We were in shorts. And we did this from midnight so that by the end of the 6 hours, you would see the sunrise. It would be the most beautiful thing. So we're looking at each other. Okay, this is our story. We went to the top. I mean, we went through this. And then all of a sudden, we see these Japanese grandmothers coming down the hill. They're like, and we looked at each other. These grandmas climbed this? Oh, forget that. And we ran. We ran to the very top. It was hard. We were sweating. We were hungry. But when we got to the very top, and as we sat, we saw the sun rise. It was probably one of the most beautiful things I've seen on earth. Next to my wife. Okay. Oftentimes, the climb is difficult. But when you get the view of God, it's beautiful. And church, we just got to climb. You just got to continue. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. It says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. So for us today, church, that is my encouragement for each of us. That though there be testing and trials, continue to climb. Because one sweet day, we will be with Jesus. And all of this will be no more. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, just thank you for this time that you've given us. And I pray even now for all that you want to continue to do in this place. Would you be with us during this time of communion? And God, that you would guide and direct. Thank you, Lord, for showing us what it means to sacrifice and to lay our life down. Thank you, God, for loving us the way that you do. We lift you up, God. We thank you for all that you want to do in this place. Thank you for Calvary Chapel Kampala. Thank you for Pastor Zeddy. Thank you for Kenny and the worship team. Thank you for the body of Christ, Lord, for your love and your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Father, that you've called us to this place. I pray that many would grow and many would be saved today, God. We thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.